Today, this is a special podcast. Today, we will be making an awareness on skin bleaching. And I do have a host that will be joining me. So let me bring him up right now. Hello, Samba. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Ms. Watt. Thanks for having me here.
Well, it's definitely welcome to Chit Chat with Scorpio, and it's definitely nice to meet you. I want to take the time to thank you for allowing me to interview and to talk about skin bleaching, because we both know skin bleaching is the really, really big thing.
Yes, you know,
not just in the United States, but also in Africa as well. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me on that. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm Samba. I'm from Senegal. I live in New York City. Been living here for 22 years now. I do basically the website part for AIDA. That's the association we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm a husband, a dad, and a web designer and a data restoration engineer.
Oh, okay. That's great. I'm also a web designer as well, and I also do graphic design as well. So what I want to do real quick is I just want to give a brief, let me see if I can share my screen, but give just a brief presentation in regards to skin bleaching, just so people can have an idea.
Yeah. Well, like I said before, it's big over here. It's big in Africa. It's really big all over the world. Like literally everywhere.
Right, it is.
In Africa. I'm sorry, can I go ahead?
Oh, no, you can go ahead.
Okay.
Are you able to see my screen?
Okay, yes, there we go. I can. Yeah, I can see it.
Okay. So go ahead, you can finish.
Yeah, so it's a global problem. It's a global phenomenon. You see it everywhere. You know, in all parts of the world, whether it's in the Americas, in Africa, Europe, the Middle East, Asia, it's big everywhere. Actually, I think in 2019, CNN published a study saying about most of the, you know, skin bleaching users or practitioners are in Asia, 54% of them. And the other big chunk is in Africa and, you know, in the Americas as well. So AIDA's goal has always been, AIDA's actually been founded this month in 2002, and they've been just fighting against this phenomenon, educating people, telling them about the dangers, campaigning, you know, trying to get the government involved in that sense, and basically just, you know, educating, and it's growing. It's been growing since.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so I just want to read just a little bit on the skin bleaching in Africa, because I've heard of it, and I know a lot of people have talked about it, but they really haven't really gone into very deep length into it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what I did find. So it's a legacy of colorism. Skin bleaching in Africa is not a new beauty phenomenon. The practice finds its roots in the transatlantic slave trade and continued during the European colonization of African nations. The caste systems that entitled European slave owners and traders to reduce African blacks to indentured servants perpetuated disparities in political status, wealth and beauty, furthering discrimination based on skin color. The legacy of racist views, which positions white Europeans as superior, as has remained a structural belief system among the women who choose to use the skin lightening products. They believe that darker skin is associated with unsatisfactory traits such as inferior beauty, education, and social class. In other words, dark skin is stereotypically associated with a life of economic disadvantages and struggle. Consumers of these bleach products wanting fairer skin believe they will achieve a higher level of social capital, be viewed as pure and more desirable for marriage. Doctors who have studied the phenomena of skin bleaching in Africa have concluded that while some women bleach their skin for vanity reasons, others are very calculated in their decision. The retailers are selling these products sometimes refer to and promote skin lightening creams as upmarketing one's appearance. The payoff comes in the form of job security, progress, and power. Skin bleaching in Africa is therefore a business-oriented decision. Anecdotally, the appearance of lighter skin means faster and easier access and landing higher-paying jobs, particularly in sales and marketing. So basically, it seems like one of the main reasons why a lot of females, and not just in Africa, but also in the U.S., a lot of dark-skinned females feel like they need to lighten their skin is because one is for job purposes, and then the other is because they, you know, the way society looks like dark-skinned people, dark-skinned women, they get looked over, they get overlooked. And yeah, so it makes them feel very complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely associate it with colorism or even racism. Because unfortunately, we live in a world where white privilege is a reality, right? We live that. And so therefore, right. If white is good, then lighter is also good, right? And right. There's that perceived, I guess, ask right. Or perceived betterness of the lighter. The lighter you are, the better you are, the more chances you are. Personally, I don't think it has to be. Well, obviously, nobody thinks it has to be that way. But personally, I categorically reject that, because it's just a perceived thing. It's not real. Like, it doesn't matter how much you try to change. I mean, we see it. It's very visible. Maybe some right. people with the means could get away with it. I mean, even in here, we have black people who had chosen to pass as white because they perceive the privilege in that. They perceive that, you know, it's just a better route for them. Right. But overall, we know. You see a black person. And again, I don't want to make it just a black thing because it's really literally.
It's really not.
But, yeah. But since you talked about AIDA in the work they do in Africa, I guess we can, you know, limit it to our circle. And I put that in quote, you know, African or black circles.
Right.
But then what we have, that color, black, there's a reason you have it, right? Whether it doesn't matter what you believe in. If you are an evolutionist, so that's what nature chose for you. And right. nature knows best. That's the best thing for you. If you want to, you know, look at it from a religious point of view, that's how God made you.
Right, right? Exactly.
We cannot out-engineer God, can we? Right?
So there are definitely benefits. Can't, but a lot of people will be trying.
Yeah, and there are scientific reasons why nobody, at least black people, should never do that. Because the black skin has an advantage. It protects us against so many things,
right? Exactly. Like,
yeah, I mean, there's a reason why we say black don't crack, right? It's mm-hmm. it's really good. It has so many benefits to us. There's
right.
no reason whatsoever. Like the whole white privilege, is not the truth. I mean, it's real because people made it real. But if you dig deep, I mean, why? We are in a continent where. I mean, you're talking about Africa. It's a black continent, right? So who you mm-hmm. compete against? It's us, within us. there's no one black shade, right? You have different shades of it. Right. So therefore, it's just that, and the price people pay is just not worth it. It's not worth it financially or even, you know, medically. It kills.
Right. I think one of the problems is because, you know, there's a lot of people who have like high yellow skin color, mm-hmm. you know, to the point to where they can actually, a lot of them are mistaken for being white. And a lot of light skinned women have actually been passed on as being white back in the day. And yeah. So it's like now, it's like the light skinned people or high yellow skinned people, they have more of a advantage than people who are either our skin color or even darker. Mm-hmm. Because they'll look at the lighter skinned person first before they look at the darker skin.
That's true.
Doesn't make it any better because they pick and choose of the type of people that they want. And so that's another problem that we have too, and what makes people feel the dark skinned people feel some type of way because of how, you know, society and even certain jobs like the fashion industry and stuff like that, they pick and choose the type of people that they want. And a lot of times it's not the dark skinned people, it's more of the light skinned people. And so it's like it makes it harder for dark skinned people to even get anything because you're too dark.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. Oh, I think you accidentally muted yourself. Let me see.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. So, I think it accidentally muted yourself. But go ahead.
So I was saying, so that's true. But it's only true because we made it real. You know? We didn't have to buy into that idea. So that's foreign. Like someone comes to you and tell you I'm better. You don't have to buy into that.
Right.
We have so much to offer. We have so much richness in us. There is a blogger in Medium, David Saint Vincent. He says we should even maybe change it, right? Because this idea of dark is always going to have a negative connotation with it. That's just the way our world is. And he said you got to call it rich. Right. Once you say rich, it's very positive. It's nice. You know, it's very attractive. Right. Because that's what it is, actually.
Right.
Because everything black is attractive. Everything. Whether it's like the culture, the creativity, the spirituality of it is attractive. Everybody wants it. So there's that one thing people want to reject. And that's the one thing that's actually fundamental to blackness.
Yeah. Right. True. That's very true. So what is it that you want to do as far as your organization? Like, are you trying to bring it also into the United States as well? Well, I mean, are you doing it in the United States as well as Africa too?
It's mostly Africa, but AIDA itself, the name, so AIDA is AIIDA. So the first I stands for international. So that's an international association for information on artificial depigmentation. Right? That's what they call it. So the goal is to work with other organizations everywhere. Obviously, AIDA cannot cover the whole world. And there's so much to do just there locally in Senegal, let alone West Africa, Africa, and then the whole world. So at this point, because these are mostly professionals, the whole organization is made up pretty much of dermatologists. So these are people who are, you know, soldiers. They're in the terrain. They see the damage it makes, you know, on people's health, you know, their well-being in general. And so they basically trying to educate people on the dangers of it. and to tell them that it's not too late to get out of it. So, you know, there's a way. It's because one of the problems with skin bleaching is that people would do it and sometimes they wouldn't know how to get out of it. Because once you start, it's not pretty. Right? And so you basically corner yourself into this cycle where you have to keep doing it, and it keeps harming you, but it kind of stops, right. So you keep going until you die. You know, it comes with cancer and all kind of other diseases. So either then, what they do is just educate. They do these workshops, they do these webinars, they go talk to people, they make campaigns in schools, not political campaign, but they do everything they can to get the government involved, right. Because unfortunately, you know, this is a big issue. You cannot do it without help of the powers that be. And they did have some successes. For example, they fought against the advertisement of, you know, skin bleaching products, and they succeeded. Right. It's banned today in Senegal. Other countries are going even further to actually ban the sale of skin bleaching products. Few countries, but it's just a step-by-step thing. Every now and then you hear more and more positive information in that regard.
Right. Well, I'm glad that there are actually doctors out there that are trying to educate people, because mm-hmm. I kind of almost thought that there are more doctors that are actually supporting people in doing this, knowing that they know the dangers of it. So I'm really glad that there are doctors out there that are trying to change the minds of people that want to do it. Because
they're very close to it, right? They're very close to it. And one of the big problems, again, is just that it becomes even like some sort of an addiction. People do it, and even when they want to get out of it, they don't know how. Because, again, true. once you stop, it's going
to
take time.
It's hard to get out.
Before you get, right. It takes time before you get your original, complexion.
Right. Yeah, it takes a lot to bring your natural complexion out. Like, for example, you take Little Kim for an example, because Little Kim, she's naturally born brown skin, and because mm-hmm. of a lot of things that has taken place in her life, back when she started rising up to be a female rapper, she decided to bleach her skin. And also, she kind of changed the way her face used to be as well. Yes. So she lightened up her face and had plastic surgery done on her face. Now, one of the things that I realized is that one of the reasons why some females do that is because of a low self-esteem type thing.
Yeah,
and especially being told so much that they're ugly,
mm-hmm.
They kind of think that either lightening their skin or having plastic surgery to kind of improve it would make them feel better, but then deep down inside you're still feeling the same way. It's really not helping the situation because you're still they're still depressed.
Yeah, because it cannot help, really, because and it's so deeply rooted in our societies, right? Because it's not just one individual saying, I want to look different. There's a lot of psychology that's built into it, right? Since the day you walk, that's what we see. And again, because the whole world has bought into it, right? White supremacy, because that's at the end of the day, that's what it is. Privilege comes from that. So you're on top, you have all the privileges, and everybody accepted it.
Right.
Well, that's the result we're living now. So even to get out of it, even you can go and educate people, you can help people, but the problem itself is not going to go away unless it's tackled differently, right? You got to be attacked from all angles. Like you and I just talked about the whole beauty of blackness, I guess, right? And we have to go back to that, which means that doesn't really solve the problem. As if you look at skin bleaching as a global problem, therefore, then it's not just a matter of like, okay, how are you going to fight it for black people? You're going to fight it for the whole world. To do that, it cannot be just one battle. Like, everybody right. got to do it in their own corners. For Africans, meaning African-descended people, black people, the idea is to get back to, just make it more Afrocentric. Just get back to black is beautiful, black is nice,
exactly.
black is great, black is protective. Right? And but it's not easy. It's not an easy battle. I mean, people who do it know it's not good for them. They know. But you know, it's like telling a smoker, don't smoke. Like, don't smoke anyway.
Yeah, right. Like you said, it, you know, really, like you said, it takes a lot of therapy.
Hmm.
It takes a lot of therapy. Yeah, I think people don't, a lot of people, especially black, especially black people, you know, they don't believe in seeing a therapist or seeing a psychiatrist. But in actuality, I really feel like a psychiatrist or not even a psychiatrist, because, you know, they people are afraid of them being medicated, which I understand. But going to see a therapist and just talking about it and getting some type of help would actually make, to me, I believe, would actually make a difference, because, you know, without it, I think it's the main reason why there's so many people that go through so much stuff, and there's the reason why there's so much, the suicide rate is so high, is because they don't want to speak to a therapist. And I think if people would take the time to even try and speak to a therapist, you know, they will see that it's a big help for them. It would be a big help for them, and actually they'll feel a whole lot better. Or at least talking to somebody, if they don't even want to see a therapist, but talk to somebody that has experienced whatever it is that they're going through.
Before thinking about doing the
skin bleaching and plastic surgery and stuff like that.
Yeah, I have heard a lot of psychologists and even sociologists say it, like there's this big, deep trauma that we all carry, right? All black people carry, and some more than others. I mean, in the on the continent, maybe less accentuated than it would be in here, for example, in the diaspora. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's this big trauma that people have been carrying. It's almost rooted in our DNA. And it's not easy to get out of, because first of all, you cannot diagnose yourself. You cannot even see it as a problem, right? To begin with, before you go and seek help.
And I think where the problem lies at, because for us African American people, and when it comes to family, you know, a lot of families, they have this thing, is what goes on in the family stays in the family. And so when, God forbid, something happens or you're going through something, you can't really tell your family because your family don't want to hear it. And so it's like people are literally left holding on to all of the hurts and the pains for what has happened, what happened to them, because they don't have anybody and they can't go to their family members to talk about it. And they end up carrying it for years and years and years. And then years later, when they become adults or whatever, you know, they somehow find a way to talk about what happened to them back in their childhood. And that's one of the things that black families need to stop doing, is to stop saying that you can't talk about anything in your family and sweep it under the rug, and stop sweeping stuff under the rug as well, because black families are very good for that too. When they have problems in the family, they like to sweep it under the rug too, and they don't want to deal with it, and that becomes an issue too.
Yeah, that's something that got lost along the way, and it's not black people's fault or anything, because Even back home in Africa, which is pretty, you know, it's all communal, right? It's all about society, family, and all that. But still, I mean, people like discretion. I mean, people feel like, if you talk about, you know, if we limit ourselves to, say, the just skin bleaching alone, right? Some people wouldn't want to hear it, right? Right. They're doing it and they're comfortable with it. Whether it's just a front, I don't know. I mean, for some, I'm sure it is just a front. Like, if they in it, it's too late to get out. So, hey, guess what? I like it. I'm going to keep doing it because whatever, my husband likes it or my friends like it or people, whatever the reason they come up with. So, yeah, even when we share, maybe we don't even share fully, even back home, right? So that that keeps the devil alive, I guess.
Right. So what? Okay. So what are some things that you actually have done, like through your organization?
For AIDA? Well, for AIDA, you mean AIDA, not me personally, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for AIDA, it's, I mean, the battle hasn't changed. I mean, for the last 20 years, 21 years now, actually, it's been just the same battle, just educate. Because it's not an organization that's fully funded by some other big donors or anything. I mean, they get by. We have members' fees and we have some donors too at times, but it's never enough. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's powerful enough to actually be, because what they have, what they face, right, beside just the societal issues, right, psychology, the whole colorism and whatnot, mm-hmm. They're also facing a big lobby. You're talking about these big multi-billion dollar companies selling these products. Right, you cannot fight them easily. You need laws, but even with the laws, it's not enough. So you need laws. You need like agency. Just to say, this is who we are, and be okay with it, because it's good actually, and we don't want to be anybody else. This is who we are, right? So there's that fight, the lobby fight, and just the world at large, because even if it was just isolated to Africa, people are like, all right, this is a fundamentally African problem. Let's do something. It's a global issue. So it's just a tough fight. But it's not like they give up. I mean, again, they've been at it for 20 years. As a matter of fact, we just changed our executive board because the founder was a Professor Fatima Ali. That's the woman who founded the organization. After 20 years, she stepped down to just give the organization new blood and give it a little bit more momentum. So the fight doesn't end, but essentially it's that educate, and help. Obviously, they bring a lot of support. And they know the more they, over time, they know where, who to target. Right, so they go a lot into schools, for example, because you have to talk to the young, right? Because we all these things have just been taught to us. We just have to undo it, and to undo it is to teach them now the real thing, right? That we are valuable.
Very true, and that's definitely one of the most important things is to reassure people that they are valuable and they're not who or what other people say, because I know at times when people get talked down on, at a certain point they, people tend to start believing that that's who they are. And so it's like, you definitely have to, kind of reassure them that they're not what or who people say they are.
Yeah. And it's been done before. I mean, we can look at just look at here, just here in the Americas, for example. And it's I've seen the same thing back home too, right? Where you look at who were the superstars in showbiz, everything about them were, the whiter you get, whether it's in your hair or your demeanor, whatever you do, until at some point in the 60s, right, 50s even. Right, the black is beautiful movement, and somehow it worked. Right, people started to buy into it, and it wasn't just like a fluke. It wasn't just like a 2 year thing. It lasted for a long time. As a kid, being back home, I knew of that. Right, black is beautiful, even if I didn't understand what it meant, but But that's exactly what it takes. You just gotta, you know, keep repeating it, keep teaching people, keep telling, you know, you just gotta hammer it into people's heads.
Right, that's very true. So just to kind of wrap things up, if anybody wants to get involved in your organization or donate, what can they do?
Well, we have a website. That's AIDASENEGAL.org. That's AIIDASENEGAL.org. Where you can get involved. I mean, we look for volunteers. For mm-hmm. donations, you cannot do it online, but we have a treasurer. We're gonna have to set up something, I guess, on the website. But to reach us, you can contact us at bureau. That's BUREAU at AIDASENEGAL.org. And if you want to get involved, or and everything matters, right? Even if it's just a matter of sharing it in people's social media accounts and you know, whatever platform they are online, everything helps. And obviously, you're also welcome to work with other organizations who are, you know, fighting the same fight.
Okay, that's great. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make sure that I add this website into my description of this broadcast so that people can take a look at it.
Yeah. Oh, so if I forget. We are also on Facebook. That's facebook.com/AIDASEN. SN is for Senegal. Facebook.com/AIIDASEN.
And that's Facebook. Okay, so, okay, I will definitely also put that in my description as well so that they can also follow that page as well. So if anybody would like to be involved in advocating against skin bleaching, the website will be in the description. Also, you'll be able to take a look at their Facebook page. And I will also leave the email address as well for people who might want to donate as well. Again, I would like to thank you for coming on and speaking about skin bleaching, because this is definitely something that needs to be talked about a lot. Everybody needs to hear about this, so try and change the minds of people who are thinking about bleaching their skin. And just want to let people know that you're beautiful just the way you are. You don't need to bleach your skin to look like something that you're not because of what people say. You're beautiful just the way you are.
That's correct. Amen. Amen. And I appreciate having me and giving me the opportunity to talk about AIDA.
Definitely. I am definitely open to collaborating some more as well. I'm going to end this live now, and hopefully we will definitely keep in touch and speak more on this.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you for stopping by. You have a great night.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.